Before we start, let's clap it up for the guy who got 70 pounds and a cold stop in the group from Lyndhurst. You can scroll down and see that we just posted that. Really, really great job. Nice to get 70 pounds on a cold stop. Good shit. But we're going to go into today. We're going to finish up some of the stuff we talked about yesterday because I didn't want to make that video too long. Let's talk about the first thing, which was brought up, and it was questioned in another thread that we had in the group, which was, and we talked about it before, this is New Jersey. This pertains to New Jersey. It is state versus 4G owned. And that's pulling over motor vehicles with out-of-state license plates for maintenance violations in New Jersey. And guys, let me try to explain this to you. And the question was posed, that's always posed, is can we give the ticket? And the answer to that is it doesn't matter whether or not you could give the ticket. All that is mattered, all that matters is that you were justified in effectuating the stop. So you're justified. If you read 4GO, and I'll put the link up to it, you can read it. Now, it was a headlight decision. However, in the consent decree, the justices of the Supreme Court of New Jersey decided to make a judgment regarding maintenance violations on every single provision of Chapter 3 and Chapter 4, and that these vehicles, out-of-state vehicles, could be stopped for it. I've made a lot of really good cases pulling over cars from South Carolina with license plate covers that obstruct, or license plate frames that obstruct the view of the South Carolina or North Carolina. The first in flight was blocked. So that was... I made a lot of cases on that. If it wasn't legal, a lot of those cases that I've made for out-of-state plates would have been suppressed, but they weren't. Nothing ever happened to them. So it is legal. You can do it. You can read about it. When you go to the link, make sure a lot of the case law is a tad intimidating. It's long, but just go into it and read the good stuff that's inside of it. Take the time to look at it. So I'm going to read to you the brevity that I've taken out of State versus 4G owned, and this is what it says. The court ruled that the provisions of 39.315, which exempts from the automobile equipment standards of Title 39 a vehicle licensed in another state and owned by a resident of that state, do not prevent a law enforcement officer in this state, this is New Jersey, from stopping such a vehicle or requiring the driver to produce registration and driving credentials when the officer observes an equipment violation. Continued, a law enforcement officer cannot ascertain whether an out-of-state licensed vehicle is owned by a resident of that state without checking the registration credentials of that vehicle. It is not unusual in this day and age for a resident of one state to register his car in another state. Consequently, entitlement to the exemption of 39.315 cannot be determined until the registration credentials confirm that the vehicle in question is owned by an out-of-state resident and properly registered there. The only practical way for that confirmation to occur is for the police officer involved to review the appropriate credentials. So what they're saying is, yeah, you're subject, like, so people are like, well, when can you write the summons? Well, it depends. Like, if you have somebody pulled over and you're going to be interviewing them, and they're like, hey, you know, you have these really dark tinted windows. I see the cars from Florida, but I've seen this car around town for a good 3 months now. And the guy, you know, maybe the guy or girl's like, well, you know, I moved here 3 months ago. I just haven't had a chance to change the registration over. Now that car is technically supposed to, like, it technically is a New Jersey registered car. And that's when I would say you can maybe give that summons under 374 State versus Cohen, 374 for the tinted windows. That's where I would say you could go with it. You'd have to develop. People are like, well, how do you know? You just ask. All right. So that's 4G owned. I'll put the stuff in there. Hopefully that answered your question. I forgot who it was who asked earlier. Okay. Let's talk about State versus George Myers, and I'll come back to that one. We'll do George Myers another day. I'm going to hit pedestrian stops for Timmy T, my buddy in Florida. Let's talk about pedestrian stops. One thing I tell everybody who comes to the class is, like, if you guys aren't focusing on anything in your realm of law enforcement duties other than a driver of motor vehicle, you're missing so much more. I mean, there's just so much going on out there. Anybody who's trying to hide from the police is not getting in the car behind the wheel and driving the car down the street with the intentions of possibly getting pulled over. They're going to try to hide from you. They're going to be on bikes. They're going to be on foot. They're literally going to try to stay out of the path back of taxis, Ubers. They're going to try to stay out of your path. They don't want to cross your path and have them to get maybe caught with their drugs, their CDS, or their warrants that they have. They don't want to run into you. So they'll... People are observing what the cops do. Not a lot of cops are making pedestrian stops and stopping bicycles. But here's a few things in New Jersey that you can use. And I'm sure your states have them too if you're from another state. And you could look into your motor vehicle violation guidelines or whatever you have, your rule books. And you can find stuff out too that you can enforce as well. It's just like a motor vehicle stop. And those rules of State versus Pierce where they have to provide a documentation of who they are, or you have to be able to identify who they are because they're subject to a summons. And if you can't and they're lying about it, you can take them to jail. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And we're seeing guys sending stuff into the group, and I'm seeing stuff on NJ.com. Sea Caucus had something recently where they got a guy on a bike with warrants. But this stuff, that was just the only one that's documented on NJ.com. But a lot of people are using this stuff all day, every day. In class, when we have it, I always ask people, who's doing bike enforcement? A lot of people raise their hands, and I'm like, what are you guys getting? They're like, CDS, warrants, this, that, the other thing, thefts. So they're doing a really good job. And you have to stop paying attention to just drivers. Start focusing on passengers and motor vehicles. That's where your answers will be: passengers, bicyclists, pedestrians, bus riders, train riders, pretty much anybody and everybody outside of what the norm is. I'm not saying drivers aren't going to have issues, but, you know, you're not looking at other people. When I did patrol, I was scanning constantly. Everybody was getting scanned as I was driving my patrol car. And trying to figure out what was going on, who was up to no good, who had a reaction to my presence, what did they look like, what are they up to, were they supposed to be here? All that stuff should be running through your head constantly. So here's a few things that in our Title 39 here in New Jersey, which is motor vehicle law, that you guys can use. 3940-10 lights on bicycles. There's just a few of them. You can go to Title 39 and find a bunch of them. At night, must have a white light visible at 500 feet and also must have a red light on 500 feet on the rear. You must have both. Okay, you must have both. So you have a car, that bike ride down the street. Maybe the guys or girls, a little men's amends, a little half and half. And, you know, you see them, they kind of like have a reaction to your presence, and you stop and they don't have that light on that bike. Okay, you can stop them. Need to see your ID. What are we going to stop for? You don't have a light on your bike. It's a motor vehicle stop. You're violating the motor vehicle law. I don't know who what my name is. I don't know my social, blah, blah, blah. That's cool. You're subject to a summons. You don't know who you are. We can't find who you are in the MDT. Click, click, back at headquarters, warrants galore, wanted, fugitive, murder. We had quite a few this year that came out for seatbelt violations and pedestrian stops that were wanted. I got at least five or six guys in the group who were wanted, who found people wanted for murder on simple, simple stuff like this because they're hiding out. They're in your towns. Believe me, they are. Okay? Another one is pedestrian. You got jaywalking. You have ones where the pedestrian, this is a great one, 3940-34. It shall be unlawful for a pedestrian to cross any highways having roadways separated by a medial barrier. Say somebody run across the highway and they jump over the medial barrier. No good. On all highways where there are no sidewalks or paths provided for pedestrian use, pedestrians shall, when practicable, walk only on the extreme left side of the roadway or on its shoulder facing approaching traffic. That's a big one. You got somebody walking down the street and they're walking with traffic. It's a violation, especially if they're, you know, a suspect, maybe got called in for a, you know, this is now that ability to identify them. You have that reason to stop them. It's an investigative detention at this point because you have a motor vehicle violation. And it says where sidewalks are provided, it shall be unlawful for any pedestrian to walk along and upon the adjacent roadway. So if you have sidewalks present, and somebody's walking in the street, violation of Title 39, it can be enforced. They can be given summons for it. Are we going out? Are we going to start writing summonses for people not walking on the sidewalk? No. What we're trying to achieve is that guy who's or girl who's trying to dip out from that warrant they have, or maybe they're moving drugs in a backpack down the street. Maybe they'll pop for that warrant. You'll do search into the rest of the backpack and find a cache of drugs. Who knows? Or a gun or whatever you may find. Guys are getting good stuff. Years ago, a friend of mine took this class. He made 10 stops on motor. He told himself he's going to make 10 stops on bicycles. He had 9 arrests on 10 stops. Great. Like, it's really an effective method. So you guys in your towns where you are in this country, you got to start thinking about everything. I've seen people walking into stores with hoods on and sunglasses on. I'm like, oh, this guy's going to go do the store. He's going to go do this. He's going to do a robbery, you know? So you got to be careful and always keep your eyes open to anything and everything. Don't just stay focused on one thing. Let's see. What else can we cover? I did a little RES yesterday. Jim, I know Jim Egan wants tips for interdiction. Jimmy, I think I'm going to do a whole video on that. If you look at me and TJ did a video about a month ago, a lot of good stuff came out of that. I don't know if I'm going to be able to squeeze it in today because I don't want to make these videos super, super long. I'm going to leave it at that for today. If you guys have more stuff you want to know about, you can reach out to me. As questions come in, oh, you know, I have one more I'm going to hit. I told one guy I would answer a question for him. It was a good quick one. We'll do that one real quick before we get off the air here. Okay, this is what Buddy Nick said. He goes, D, request passenger's ID, says he doesn't have it, but voluntary provides of pedigree information. Look up in DMV, provides that PIC doesn't have a match, and a DMV that doesn't match. No other names in DMV, but says he has an NJ ID. Now, he had the guy in a seatbelt violation, so that's an easy one. You can't figure out who he is. He's lying. It's not coming back. You believe he's hindering. You're good on an arrest there because he's subject to a summons. Bring him in. Run him on APHIS or Morpho, whatever you're using in your city. Same thing, electronic fingerprinting to find out who they are and see what kind of warrants they have. Guys, a little tip for electronic fingerprinting. You can fingerprint for identification purposes only. There's an option. It should be in every single every person's ID. Oh, I'm sorry. Identification processing, computer screen. If you're not getting results back quickly enough in New Jersey, you can call the state police identification unit. Unfortunately, they're not there from like midnight to 6 a.m. But especially if you get somebody coming at like 11:30 and you want to find out who they are quickly, you don't want to have to hold them until 6:30 a.m. You want to find out who they are right away, especially if they're really keeping that hindering game going and they're going to try to play that game with you and try to hide who they are. You can give them a call and say, hey, look, we got a guy here. If you got a chance, can you, I've done it 100 times. Can you just run his prints first and see who he is? And, you know, they'll do it. They'll put you at the top of the list because everybody else is like, you may be processing somebody for shoplifting or domestic, whatever it may be. So good tip there for you to use. So he was saying, at this point now, he's giving you an ID of somebody else, coming back to somebody else. But what happens if they don't have a violation? The answer to that is like, what happens when he doesn't have a violation, you arrest him, and then, you know, maybe there was just a mix-up and you have somebody under arrest now without any kind of any probable cause to make the arrest. You know, there was no violation. I will tell you this. If you're not going to lock the person up, which, you know, without a violation, you'd be very, very careful what I was doing there. But I would really, really spend some time with that person trying to figure out who they are and do my very, very best. Remember, the best interdictors and the best people who – break these people's stories down are the people who are the best interviewers. So just think of your cache and array of questions that you're going to constantly hammer people down with, and you'll find out who somebody is. As long as this guy's cooperative, he's giving you info, especially if there's somebody else with them, you can take that person who's with them and hammer them about questions. Hey, who is this guy? How do you know him? Where do you know him from? What town is he in? Has he been arrested? And they'll start telling you things like, oh yeah, I think he went to jail. He's my friend Joe. You can just keep digging and digging and digging. And then you would even threaten the person. Like, if you're lying about who he is, and this person has a warrant for his arrest, you're being charged with it. And I've had people, when I told them that, they were like, oh, okay, I'll tell you who he is. Like, right away. Sorry, he's lying about who he is. I'll tell you who he is. I don't want to go to jail. And those are those tips for you guys to take out to the road with you this evening. And I will try to get on here and give you guys some more stuff. We're going to go to State versus George Meyer. I know that one guy asked for that. Another guy had Dave Michaels' question. Dave, you're watching this video. I have your question, but I can't remember what it was. I just wrote notes down to answer your question. So, ask it again. I don't know where the comment went. I lost it. All right. And then Jim, I know you want the tips on interdiction. That's going to be a long video. We'll go through like the whole freaking presentation here live on Facebook, and I'll give you as much stuff as I can regarding that. Have a great night, guys. I'll see you later.